in a continent of Africa. There is a country called Sierra Leone in the west. It was the anthem of West Africa once.
I've come to Sierra Leone to investigate a robbery, a theft of such mammoth proportions. I'm shocked to find the place not swarming with Interpol. The country has some of the largest iron ore deposits in the world. It's being mined by two British companies who are getting away with hardly paying any tax to the government. This film is the story of how a potentially wealthy country remains one of the poorest in the world.
To see the Lion Mountains, many, many people come from afar. To see the beautiful beaches, many, many people come from afar. For education and civilization.
Ten years ago, Sierra Leone was gripped by a brutal civil war. Child soldiers and gruesome images of mass amputations made the country famous. Over 50,000 people were killed or maimed. The war was largely fought over control of diamonds, or blood diamonds as they became known. Now, however, a new treasure has been found: iron ore. Step forward, two British companies, London Mining and African Minerals. Their arrival was celebrated in the country. They would bring in much-needed foreign investment, jobs, infrastructure and revenue. However, as the first shipments of iron ore are on their way out of the country, there's more rioting than celebrating.
In 2009, a law was passed, the Mines and Minerals Act. Now, it was largely signed to stop the kind of corruption which played such a major role in starting the civil war. Now, the law stipulates that mining companies operating in Sierra Leone must pay at least 37.5% tax.
When the communists come, they negotiate their own tax regime. For example, London Mining negotiated their own tax regime to as low as 3%.
When it should have been 37.5%.
Exactly. They negotiated theirs to as low as 3%, and African Minerals take the cue from them by negotiating theirs to 6%.
But there is also a clause that allows the company to bypass national laws.
If there's a conflict between the Mining Act and the agreement, then the agreement stands. Right, the agreement stands.
So that means this company is effectively above the law?
Of course, that means the company is above the law. That's exactly the situation. That's the situation exactly.
At the National Campaign for Justice and Development in Freetown, Aminata shows me the case details. She tells me that through tax holidays and low tax rates, the companies are getting off with hardly paying any money to the government. She also tells me that in terms of tax receipts, the UK would be making more money from the mining than would Sierra Leone.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel bad. In fact, in the first place, when I saw this, or when my organization saw this, we felt seriously bad. And when we made our first press release, we called on Britain to not just turn an eye, blind eye to these processes. They are supporting us. We go begging to them for aid. We go begging to them for loans. We go begging to them for so many things. Let them come and see what is happening. They are getting more from our natural resource wealth on the ground. They can support us to have more and then save them from the embarrassments of us going begging for more aid to come and support our social sectors.
The companies on their websites declare the great things they are bringing to the country. As well as to provide jobs for thousands of local people, they have promised to build schools, health centres, roads, and to hand out scholarships. The owner of African Minerals, Frank Timmis, has stated, "My goal is to contribute to the economic growth of these regions so that their children can have the same lifestyle as my own children." Before we headed out to these new oases of development, we had a meeting with a former security guard at African Minerals who wanted to blow the whistle on what was really happening.
During the exploration, African Minerals sent some guys, from expats from all over the world, like UK, Australia, Ghana, and other African countries, They came here to come and do the exploration. And during the exploration, they find out that the village contained iron ore. And I can tell you this for free. When I was in Ferengbeya, like during the morning, when it's raining season, people can just sweep their verandas and outside like that. They go and wash it in the river. They see gold. So after coming here, I came to realize that the place is so lucrative. So as a result, they deem it necessary that they're going to buy all the place from the local people, and which they did. But most of the money that was given to the local people was not even enough for their lands or for their houses.
Are African Minerals fulfilling any of their promises around that area?
Well, they talk about school, but I've not seen the school yet. They said they're going to build a mining school, school for little kids. You know, they're going to open a bank so that people will not have constraints to come to Makini and collect their money. But I've not seen nothing like that. Everybody is grumbling.
One of the first things you notice about Sierra Leone is that even by developing world standards, the roads here are terrible. We're now heading about 2 hours east of the capital to Lunsar town, where London Mining have an agreement to mine iron ore. They've just sent out their first shipment. We have iron and
silver. Outside their offices, crowds of people gathered every day.
We are looking for a job as a London mining. That's why I'm sitting here. So we are here for a long time, about 2 months
now. As for me now, I can boast of the job.
You've been here for 2 months?
Yes, it's more than 2 months now we're here.
Staying in Lunsar, waiting outside the offices?
Lunsar, I'm staying in Lunsar. I'm born of Lunsar.
And is that the same as most people? You've been here a long time. How long have people here been here?
Over 2 years now. Still looking for a job, driving job. As for me,
the company promised that the majority of jobs would go to Sierra Leoneans. However, these people complain that very few jobs are going to local people.
Some of us capable to do the job. All of us, most of 70% are capable to do the job. But the problem, they came from out, from different countries, neighboring countries, when they use money to bribe, and then they give them the job. The only thing we can say to the government is just to provide more jobs to the country. And strict on to employ the...
They should give us the priority.
To employ the
priority should come first for the citizens of Sierra Leone, not for foreigners.
Yes.
I was surprised to hear most of these job seekers used to work for African Minerals, but quit.
So what were the conditions like in African Minerals?
Well, the condition is very poor. Same as others, very poor. When they came and talk nicely, let people work for them. After then, they changed.
They complained of not being given drinking water and of bad accommodation.
The money is too little, the expatriates are paying us, then the cost of living in the country is so much. So we are just working for nothing. You will get told without no good nothing at the bank.
They are exploiting us and we are suffering. Those big guys in Freetown, the ministers, president, they are enjoying, but we are suffering.
The mining companies, especially London Mining, are ubiquitous in Sierra Leone. Massive companies in such a small country, employing thousands of local people. Now, we've repeatedly asked London Mining for access to their mines for us to be allowed to film inside. They've repeatedly tried to delay the possibility of us doing that, though. So we've come ourselves, we've hired some bikes, and we're trying to get as close as we can. We've sent some local people ahead to see if the coast is clear.
This is where it all starts. There's no denying that civilization as we know it wouldn't get far without scenes like these. The car that you drive, the skyscrapers that dominate our skylines, even this rather aggressive looking fence, all wouldn't exist without iron ore. Back at the office, the daily intake of workers was taking place. Youth unemployment in Sierra Leone is amongst the highest in the world. After a decade of war, it stands at nearly 50%. Just a few hours ago, these people were complaining to me of how they were being exploited.
This morning, some men are lucky enough to be called forward for a medical. Some of those men might be lucky enough in turn to actually get a job. But as you can see, there are going to be many more people who day after day are coming here and going away empty-handed.
Nearby, I had a meeting with a local chief. He was one of the signatories of an agreement between London Mining and the local community.
Mr. Kroma, are you happy that London Mining is in your chiefdom?
Of course, because it is a very big opportunity. Now that we've got another big investor like London Mining, I'm very happy of their coming, and I'm satisfied with the way they've started things.
In the agreement, London Mining promised to give agricultural equipment, a water supply and electricity to the local community. However, the chief tells me that so far none of these promises have been lived up to.
You're confident that all these promises are, in the end, going to be
fulfilled? I believe they will keep up to that agreement for sure.
The chief did say that the only promise so far that had been lived up to was the roads. The company promised to pave 3 roads per year. After 6 years in Linsar town, 5 roads, he says, have been paved.
And all these 5 roads that I've just said, they are working on them, surface dressing, culvert, and making a lay-by and a parking places for vehicles and pedestrians.
We set off to take a look.
We've been searching all around Linsar town for these paved roads. However, quite frankly, we haven't been able to find any. Now, we're on Shaka Stephen Street right now, which is one of the roads that the chieftain coordinator told us was paved. However, as you can see, it's still just a dirt track. Now, there is some work going on down here, though. I wonder if that's got anything to do with London Mining.
Government. They make this road. They are not London Mining. They make this road. Now, government.
There's an agreement between London Mining and the local chiefs that 3 roads in Linsar will be paved every year.
They are telling tales about that.
Telling tales?
Yes.
So they haven't done any work?
No work.
He told you people that this road has already been...
While we were filming, some local people accosted us, telling us to leave. They thought we were making a propaganda film for London Mining.
We work with these sorts of people and they tell you that it is not true and this world is not being paved by
London Mining. They rely on propaganda. They are very good on that.
After convincing him that we were instead independent journalists, he calmed down a little.
We've seen an agreement between the local chiefs and London Mining which promises to pave 3 roads a year in Linsar town. Do you know about this agreement?
No, not at all.
You don't know about this agreement?
I don't know. Not at all. Only at one time I heard them in the radio saying that we've turned Linsar Koloko Road to this roundabout. And they've turned also this roundabout that this Shaka Stephen Street you are standing.
But it's not been
paved. But look at the scenario. This is the scenario.
So why is that happening? London Mining is saying they're doing these things, but they're not being done.
Not at all. They're very eloquent in propaganda.
What do you think of your chiefs?
The chief is also. In fact, he was the one that went to the radio and announced publicly that London Mining, they've tarred Koloko Road and also Shaka Stephen Street, which of course is a very blank lie, my brother.
Well, the chief coordinator lives about 200 metres down that road. He told us that these roads have been paved. He must know that they're not. Why is he lying?
Yeah, very correct. Is this a paved road? Is this a paved road?
Why is your chief lying?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's getting something from London Mining.
You seem very angry about this. Are you going to do anything about it?
Yeah, no.
What?
We just have to. That's why.
We'll wait.
We are waiting for time.
Soon. We'll wait.
For what? Till they don't pave any more roads?
Well, that wasn't quite the response I was expecting. Still, I found myself wondering what can local people really do about it. Recently, protests against African minerals turned violent. Millions of dollars of mining equipment was destroyed.
Yesterday, the National Movement for Justice and Development released a damning report criticizing the government's agreements with the mining companies. Now, we've just heard of a press conference being held on the other side of town by another civil society group who in turn have condemned the report and are defending the mining companies.
Equipment cost over $2 million was damaged. I mean, quite recently, because of negative propagation. And we don't want to see whereby the atmosphere, I mean, with regard to our investment policy, will be pervaded with all sorts of propaganda, scaring away investors.
Amongst the many hastily written placards, journalists were abundant, ready to spread the message of the conference in the morning's papers. One of the speakers even claimed that the National Movement for Justice and Development might have links with the Mujahideen and Al-Qaeda.
Do you think he's been paid?
Well, I don't know. I don't have evidence, but there is every likelihood that he should be paid. Why is he speaking on behalf of a single company? There are other companies who have been making series of press statements and he's not been reacting to them. Why now? That's why I asked the question in the press conference. Why are you advocating for African minerals if you are not being paid?
Are you working for African Minerals?
No, I'm not working for African Minerals, but I've got a colleague.
Have they paid you to come here today?
No, never. But according to their own policies that they bring in the country, really I appreciated it so much. And then it has even decreased the level of robbery.
And one of the speakers just said there that he thinks there may be links between NMJD and the Mujahideen and Al-Qaeda. Do you think there's any truth
to that? Well, I disagree with that particular statement, right? It was just a propaganda, just to make things sweeter.
Ever since we got to Sierra Leone, we had been trying to secure an interview with one of the big men in government. Finally, the Minister of Mines had agreed to see us. However, when we got there, he wouldn't talk. The international news channel Al Jazeera had just done a secret camera sting on the vice president about corruption. Everyone in government was terrified of journalists. Walking through the corridors, though, I noticed the strangest thing. There were white people everywhere, all belonging to various foreign organizations. Just down the hall from the Ministry of Mines is the Adam Smith Institute, which is run by the World Bank. In the office of the Chief of Staff, there's Tony Blair's African Governance Initiative.
So their offices are actually inside the government ministries?
They are inside the offices, just next door to the boss.
Would you go as far as saying that these organizations are running Sierra Leone?
Yeah, they are kind of running a shadow government. They are running a shadow government because if they are everywhere and no decision is taken without their input, right, and they have the right to bring in new ideas, right? And most times when they bring in new ideas, the government sees it as, oh, this is a hot cake, so they just take it.
None of these organizations would speak to us on camera. However, with so many international organizations advising the government, surely they would be able to make sure that the country got a good deal from the mining companies.
These guys are pro-corporate, to say the least. They are pro-corporate. So, and they have strong ties with international financial institutions, right? So, when they come, of course, they emphasize on creating of liberalizing the market, right? Liberalizing the market by way of granting tax exemptions and by way of opening the market to foreign agents or to bilateral companies to come and do business. So, of course, they are pro-corporate, so what else do you expect of them?
The civil war in Sierra Leone began in 1991 when the Revolutionary United Front, or RUF, tried to overthrow the government. They cited massive government corruption and the exploitation of their resources by foreign companies. It only ended when the UN and Great Britain stepped in to end it.
It was called Tony Blair's Good War, a supposed humanitarian intervention. Out of respect for their former colonial ruler, you can see British flags all over the capital, Freetown. There are even hundreds of children named after Tony Blair.
The RUF has now become a legitimate political party in the country. We met up with its leader in Freetown. He tells me that foreign exploitation of the country is still as prevalent now as it was before the war.
You can do anything. Britain can do anything to any poor nation. America can do anything to any nation. You have the might, you have the powers, you have the technology, you have everything. We are still beggars under your legs. We are not advanced as you are. Our governments are still going there begging for aids. Until and unless we can control our resources and stop begging, we'll continue to be puppets under your legs.
The UK government, however, says it's dedicated to the country's development, supplying a massive 60% of the country's budget through aid.
A lot of money is given to Sierra Leone in aid every year. Is this aid given with any strings attached?
Well, I would say yes. One string that is attached is that you have to make the investment climate as relaxing as possible for the investors. Right? Make it as relaxing as possible.
If these companies paid their tax, would you need aid?
We don't. I don't think we need aid. All the exemptions we are giving the companies, we are being paid. There's no need for us to go begging again.
I asked Eldred Collins whether the RUFP would ever use violence again.
As far as the RUFP is concerned, the word violence, the world's armed struggle, is over.
The following evening, I was invited to speak on a local radio phone-in show. The topic? London mining and African minerals.
Yes, I remember. Ask not what Africa can do for you, but ask yourself, what can you do for Africa? Galaxy 106.1 Sierra Leone Freetown is giving it to you.
I'm Johnny Miller. I'm a British journalist. I'm over here with a camera crew to make a film about whether Sierra Leone is being exploited by foreign companies.
So what do you think about the taxes system of the mining companies in Sierra Leone?
You see, this is one of the areas where the country is losing so much revenue. You know?
Thanks to the campaign groups and radio stations like these, the word is getting out about what the mining companies are doing.
And this I find to be most unfair, because we have every reason to be an equal competitor when it comes to development.
Bongo is the owner of the station. He tells me that they can't criticize the government too much or they'll face losing their license. He says he does try, though, to get the message out.
What I'm doing, I'm trying to see if we can help to educate our young people, because we see where we are losing generation of people. 14-year-old not going to school, 6-year-olds not going to school. Now, how are we going to get these children back? We need to get these children by educate them, by giving them the history, and this will actually build slowly to bring back what we actually, the resources that we need.
For Bongo, the message for Sierra Leoneans is simple.
We keep going to the invader, we keep going to them with a begging bowl. We are begging them when we have got the riches into the country. So why can't we use our riches than to keep going to them and to actually asking them for money, when we can use that same money to actually better our country?
Ravaged by war, Sierra Leone remains one of the poorest countries in the world, with poor infrastructure and a debilitating unemployment rate. The solution is underneath the soil. However, it won't be there forever.
But what the Sierra Leone government would say, what the mining companies say, what many international business groups say, is that if you don't drop your tax rates, if you don't offer all these incentives, they'll take their business elsewhere.
Fine. We are just one of many generations that are to come. Yeah, one out of the many generations that are coming. There are generations yet unborn that still need to partake of this natural resource wealth that we have at Sierra Leone. And so if we don't utilize it now, there are many more that will come after us that will have value, that will see value, and there will be people who will be prepared to pay more for what they have, we have on the ground, rather than us encouraging people to exploit it at our own detriment with nothing to show for it, and at the end of the day, we don't have anything to leave for our children, and then it will be detrimental for us as a nation in the future.
It's a kind of neo-colonialism situation we are into, and this is what is responsible for the perpetual hardship that is affecting most people.
Are they stealing from the Sierra Leonean people?
Yes, of course, that's exactly what is happening. It's a rip-off, a complete rip-off. And the British government, unfortunately, is supportive of that scenario.